on Sunday evening.
It's always good to look back at all the things you've heard that day. It's always uplifting. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about God commending his love toward us through his Son. The main passage we'll be looking at today is in Romans 5, 6 through 10. We'll read the first part. We'll read 6 through 8. For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the phrase, while we are yet sinners. This really shows God's love for us. Ephesians 2, 12 through 14 says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, being and having no hope, and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. And Genesis says, talking about the tree of the knowledge, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Right.
So by sinning, we are committing a capital offense. We are all without hope, as it says here. Now, why am I saying all this again? Because it really shows God's love for us. Jesus died instead of us, even when we were unthankful and clueless to our plight.
Yes.
Unthankful to God.
Amen.
Isaiah 53, 4 through 6 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of men, and smitten of God, and afflicted.
Yes.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Mm-hmm. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
Jesus was completely innocent. He did not deserve death like every other human that has ever lived. Yet he gave up for his life those who were sentenced to death. Back in our verse in Romans 5, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. It is not a light thing for you to give up your life even for a righteous man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine giving up your life for a guilty, condemned criminal who was sentenced to death? That's what Christ did for us. That just shows God's love for us.
Yes, amen.
And then we all know this one. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
Jesus could condemn the world. He could have come and done judgment, but instead he came to save the world.
Amen.
And then in Isaiah 53, back there, verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul. This is talking about God seeing Jesus. And he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ, the sinless one, bore our iniquities. I know this is often said billions and billions of times. We've all heard it, but it's always good to listen to the gospel again. And just look at it with a whole bunch of different verses and think about it more, because it never grows old.
Amen.
And on to the next half of our passage in Romans 5, verses 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Uh-huh.
And we shall be saved by his life. 1 Corinthians 15:19-23 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Christ being raised proves to us that our debt has been paid. Death could not hold him because he was clean. And that assures us that God accepted his sacrifice.
Amen.
And we are saved by his life, it says. We are saved by him being raised. John 14:19-20, this is Jesus talking. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." And it says here, "Because I live, ye shall live also."
Uh-huh.
We are saved by Christ being alive now after he rose.
Yes.
Romans 24 through 25 says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Christ Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification."
Mm-hmm.
Christ was raised again for our justification. How? How, you ask? What does that mean? And finally, Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, ye rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us." Christ died, was risen, and now makes intercession for us with his blood. And that's how we are saved by his life, because Christ is making intercession for us from his blood from when he died. And that's how we are saved by his life.
Amen.
And so I thought it was just really good to look at these this passage in Romans and see God's love shown to us through Christ's death when we did not deserve it at all. And then through his life, him interceding for us.
Yeah.
Sorry it was a little shorter than I thought, but that's sometimes what happens. Any comments or corrections?
Amen.
I was thinking about his love for us, but I start off with thinking that in Gethsemane, when he was sweating the drops of blood and he was asking, "Not my will, but thy will be done,"
mm-hmm.
his greatest love is for God.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think upon a verse in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us."
Mm-hmm.
So the scriptures, "And offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor."
Mm-hmm.
He loved us, and one of the ways I see how he loved us was his compassion when he was here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Such as when the rich young ruler came to him and said, "You know, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus looked upon him and loved him,
mm-hmm.
and told him. So Christ has love for man, but I also see how his greatest love is God,
mm-hmm.
and doing God's will. And God loves us, mm-hmm. and the Son loves us because God first sent him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was willing to go. So from the very beginning, he was showing his willingness to see that God was going to do a wonderful thing here by him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he wanted to be a part of it.
Uh-huh. And Amen. Yes, Christ loves God, and that's why he did what he did. But the reason that what God's will was because God so loved the world that he sent his Son. So in loving God and doing what God wants, doing God's will, I mean, God loved us, and that's why his will was that. If that makes any sense.
To him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, of course, was in perfect unity with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
In this, even though it cost him so much, he was willing to come. And it explains why this is, I mean, this is exactly why salvation is by grace and not by merit. Because Jesus died for sinners.
Mm-hmm.
While we were yet sinners, there was no one he looked at and said, well, they've cleaned up their life enough. Maybe I'll save them. No, there was none righteous. No, not one. No one has any merit before God. And then I really liked your discussion about being alive through him. We live by his life. We're saved by his life. Yeah. And it's because he is alive. He can be that vine. We're attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're alive because we're in him. Because he lives, we live.
Mm-hmm.
What a loving Savior. All throughout eternity, he makes intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making it now and forever. That's a great compassion, mercy, grace, and love towards us.
And this is really shows what the wrath of God will be on those who reject his love. Because he did so much for them, and for them just to reject it. It's like someone being offered deliverance from death row and them saying, no, I don't want to do it. I want to do it myself in my own way. And,
right.
And that is extremely ungrateful for the sacrifice God paid for them.
Yes.
I appreciate verses 9 and 10 about saying, if we've been reconciled, much more will be saved by his life.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus forgave our sins and died for us, how much more do we know that he's going to keep us and he's going to finish the work that he started mm-hmm. in us and continue to give us what we need to make it through to heaven.
Amen.
Not only did he wash us, he didn't just wash us and send us away clean. No, he washed us and brought us in.
Yes.
That we may be where he is. He wants us in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Not only is it an insult to reject God's salvation, but it's not just a suggestion, and it's not just something that would be good for us. It's commanded. In Acts 17, Paul says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent."
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all your comments and your attention. Paul, will you please close in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you.